continue our series in God's Word in the book of Galatians. And while you are turning there, let me tell you about a survey I came across. Some time ago, the Wisconsin State Journal surveyed vice presidents and personnel directors of the nation's largest corporations for their most unusual experiences while interviewing prospective employees. And these are some of the stories of their interviewing experiences. A job applicant who challenged the interviewer to arm wrestle with him. A job candidate who said he had never finished high school because he had been kidnapped and kept in a closet in Mexico. A balding candidate who excused himself and then returned wearing a full hairpiece. A candidate who wore earphones to the interview and, when asked to remove them, explained that she could listen to the interviewer and the music at the same time. A candidate who said she didn't have time for lunch and decided to just pull out her hamburger and fries and eat it while conducting the interview. An applicant who interrupted the questioning to call his psychiatrist for advice. Another candidate dozed off during the interview. And finally, a candidate who said, "Would it be a problem if I'm angry most of the time?" Probably not somebody that you're likely to hire. Well, these people sound somewhat incompetent, don't they? And yet, it's not a stretch to say that this is the same sort of incompetence that each one of us bring to God when we are seeking to find favor with Him. Today, I'd like to continue our series in Paul's letter to the Galatians. In this section that we're going to study today, we'll see how we gain favor with God. And I invite you to look at Galatians chapter 3 and follow along as I read from verses 10 through 14. This is God's Word. "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Just so far in the reading of God's Word. Would you bow as we look to the Lord and ask His help at this time? Father, thank you for your word. We thank you for the Apostle Paul and how you taught him and instructed him. And he wrote down for the Galatian churches initially, but for all of your people throughout the ages, your truth concerning how we gain favor with you. And I pray that as we study your word this morning, that you would help each one of us here today to understand unmistakably how we can gain favor with God. And all of this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how hard we work at trying to gain another person's approval? People have an instinctive desire to gain the approval of others. We long to have the approval of our neighbors and our friends. A child longs for the approval of her parents. An employee works hard for his employer's approval. All of us seek the approval of others, even though we may not be self-conscious about it all the time. In similar fashion, people have an instinctive desire for the approval of God. People may not know His name. His name, by the way, is Yahweh. He disclosed that to us in Exodus chapter 3. And all over the world, people are seeking the approval of God. That's one of the reasons why every single culture all over the world has some kind of religion. They're trying to connect with God. They're trying to connect with what they understand to be a higher power. They're trying to come into some kind of relationship. They're seeking the approval of God. Even though, paradoxically, the Bible says that by nature, we are in revolt against God. Now, the crucial question that every single religion in the world is attempting to answer is this. How do we find the approval of God? Or how do we come into a right relationship with God? The passage of Scripture before us today, although it may be difficult in concept and vocabulary, answers this crucial question. Now, before we answer the question today from the passage, I want you to notice the description of a person who is in a right relationship with God. Verse 11 helps us understand how a person is in a right relationship with God. First, he's described as justified before God. The first part of verse 11 talks about that. Now, to be justified before God is the exact opposite of being condemned by God. Being condemned is somebody who has stood before the court of God, has been found guilty, and has been condemned to a sentence. In this case, eternal separation from God. But to be justified, to be in favor with God, as John Stott says, is to be declared righteous, to be accepted, to stand in God's favor and under His smile. Isn't that a great place to be? When you know that the sovereign King of the universe, the one who has created all things and you and me, He smiles at you, He delights in you. That's what it means to be justified. But second, a person who has found the approval of God is also described as one who will live. In the second part of verse 11. Now the life referred to here is not physical or biological life, but spiritual and eternal life. It's not the life of this age, but the life of the age to come. And the simplest definition of eternal life has been given to us by Jesus Himself when He was praying to the Father in what we call His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17. Jesus prayed these words, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Eternal life is knowing God and Jesus, the one that God has sent. It is entering into a relationship with God, fellowship with God. So justification means to be in favor with God. And eternal life means to have fellowship with God. You cannot have one without the other. When you find favor with God, when you come into God's favor, He gives you fellowship with Him and eternal life as well. And those two things are inseparably linked. And that's what the Apostle Paul describes for us here. Now we come to the crucial question, how do we come and find the approval of God? How do we come into this right relationship with God? How can we enter into the favor and fellowship of God? Or to use Paul's terms, how can we be justified and live? The passage of Scripture before us answers this crucial question plainly and unequivocally. The first thing the Apostle Paul wants us to notice is the condemnation that the law of God brings. Look at verses 10 through 12. Paul says, "All who rely on observing the law are under a curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law.' Clearly, no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, the man who does these things will live by them." Now what the Apostle Paul is doing here is he's really setting before us two destinies and two paths. Two destinies and two paths to achieve those destinies. He's saying And I'm going to summarize. If those of you who are reading along in the notes, one time I completely deviated from my notes, and afterwards somebody said, I had a hard time following you. And so I'm letting you know, you can put the notes aside because I'm not going to follow them very closely today. You can go home and read it. The substance is there. But the one part the Apostle Paul is saying, the one path in trying to earn favor with God is by observing the works of the law. Somebody says, I want to have a right relationship with God. I want to have God smile on me. I want to be in favor with God. And so I am going to try to obey His law. Those Ten Commandments, I'm going to obey them. And everything I know that will please God, I am going to do. And here's the problem. The problem is that you can find favor with God that way, provided you obey 100% of the time, all the time. The Apostle Paul says, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything that is written in the book of the law. 99.99999% doesn't cut it. One slight blemish, one slight infraction is condemnation for all eternity. There's only ever been one person who has fully and completely and totally obeyed the law of God. You all know who that is. That is Jesus. Not a single human, apart from Jesus, has ever been able to fully and completely obey the law. And for the person who says, my works, my effort, my attempts at righteousness will bring me into favor with God, unfortunately, at the end of the day, will discover they're on the wrong path, because that path leads to destruction. That is what Paul is saying. The law is never intended to save us. The law brings condemnation. It shows us our inadequacy, our inability to completely please God. On the contrary, Paul says, clearly no one is justified before God by the law, but rather the righteous shall live by faith. And he's pulling a quote from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4, and he says, there's another path, another destiny. The destiny is finding favor with God, coming into His, coming to know Him and to be one that is accepted by Him. And that path is found by faith. Because there is, as I said, only one person who has ever fully and completely obeyed the law of God, and that is Jesus. And He paid the penalty for sin. And He did that not for His sin, but for our sin. And people on this path are saying, I cannot fully obey God. My efforts are inadequate. They are insufficient. But I am trusting completely and fully in Jesus. And He is the one who can bring me into favor with God. We can be set free from the condemnation of the law only by the cure of Christ. Paul goes on and he says in verses 13 and 14, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. This path that a person is trying to find on their own, the end is cursed, the curse of God. You're not in favor with God. The Apostle Paul says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. The curse of trying to fully and completely obey the law falls on those who are trying to achieve favor with God on this path. Now, in Old Testament times, biblical times, you see it even in the New Testament, that when a person was sentenced to die, typically they were stoned. The people picked up stones and they stoned the people and they were died. And if they were dying because they had done something on which the curse of God was to be found, they then took the body and hung the body on a tree. Sometimes you read about them cutting a head off and putting it on a stake to indicate that the curse of God was upon this person. So when the Lord Jesus Christ comes along, and he is then hung on a tree, on a cross, the people found it very difficult to understand how he could bring them into favor with God, because clearly the curse of God was upon him. What the Apostle Paul helps us understand here is that the curse of God fell on Jesus. Yes, that is true. But not for the sin that Jesus himself committed. Because the curse of God fell on him for our sin. That's why he says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He took our place when he died on the cross. He paid the penalty. The curse that rightly should have fallen on each one of us fell on Jesus instead. And he became the sin-bearing curse of God on our behalf. So the Apostle Paul says that Christ is the only way that we can find the forgiveness and favor of God. He goes on and says in verses 14, he redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promised Holy Spirit. And it's by faith that we receive the blessing of God, saying, yes, it is what Christ has done that God accepts. His perfect life, his perfect obedience, his perfect righteousness, God accepts. And I put my trust, not in my own efforts, not in my own attempts at obedience, but I put my trust in the obedience of Jesus Christ and his death on my behalf. And the way I receive that is by faith. Dr. James Kennedy, pastor of Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, says that faith is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for the gift of eternal life. And that adverb alone is very important, because it is not faith plus anything else. It is faith in Jesus alone. And there is no other remedy. There is no other cure except faith in Jesus. So Paul says, there are two destinies. There is a curse and there is the blessing of God. And there are two paths that lead that way. One is obedience to the law. And obedience to the law, our obedience, is inadequate. It is not perfect. Or there is the path of faith. Faith in Christ and all that he has done on our behalf. Imagine that you have just found out that you have a terminal disease. You're going to the doctor. The doctor says to you, I'm afraid to tell you this, but you have a terminal disease and you will be dead within a month. And, of course, it's terrible news. You say, is there no hope? Is there nothing that can be done? And the doctor says to you, yes, you know, there actually is one thing that you can do. There is one remedy, but you have to follow this remedy completely. And if you follow this remedy, you will be completely cured and you will enjoy a long and happy life. But if you don't follow this cure, I'm afraid within a month you'll be gone. Now, what's your reaction? If you say, well, listen, doctor, you know, you're kind of boring me. My favorite sitcom starts in 5 minutes, and I really don't want to hear all of this nonsense. Let's stop playing these silly mouse and game, cat and mouse games, and I'm just not that interested. I'll see you later. Or do you say, well, that's interesting, doctor. I'm glad you've got your opinion about this, and you're entitled to your opinion, of course, and that may be good and well for some, but I'm really not interested, and I don't really want you to tell me how I should live my life. Or do you say, doctor, what's the cure? Tell me how. I don't want to leave here today unless you tell me how I can have the cure and live a long and happy life. So obviously the answer is the last one. Any person in his or her sane mind is going to say, I want to know the cure. I want the remedy. The Apostle Paul tells us there is only one cure. There is only one remedy. And it is Christ. And the way we receive that remedy is by putting our trust in him alone. Because he is the only one who can reconcile us to God and bring us into favor
with God. The challenge before us today from the Scripture is clear. We must renounce any foolish notion that we can establish our own righteousness or make ourselves earn the approval of God. Instead, we come to the cross and we cling to the cross of Christ and we look to Christ and we receive the grace and mercy of God that is given to us only in Jesus and in no one else. We put our trust in Him, and when we do so, we receive justification, eternal life, and the blessing of God. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we do thank You for the Apostle Paul and all that he teaches us here, this portion, this part of Your Word. Thank You that there is a way that You have made for us. And frankly, it is so simple for us to try to gain favor with You by obedience to Your law is a terrible, terrible burden. And none of us can do it. But the way of coming into Your favor by faith alone, in Christ alone, is wonderful and gracious. So I pray that every single person in the room here today would put his or her trust in Jesus alone, for the gift of eternal life. Amen.